policy committee meeting.
Commissioner Brennan?
Here.
Commissioner Lorenz?
Here.
Public member Bud Bratz?
And just for the record, there are no members of the public here. The meeting is noticed as a committee meeting. However, the committee also requested to notice the meeting as a special meeting so all commissioners could attend, but no other commissioners were interested in attending this meeting. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks. So the first thing we've got is introduction and review of agenda. I'm going to move that we just skip that.
That's fine with me.
Okay, so that's item one. We're going to move on to item two, which is anti-harassment, non-discrimination, anti-retaliation policy review, updated draft policy.
Okay, and I'll put Karen Tynan on the phone.
Okay.
Hi, Karen. This is Sabrina, Ed, and Julie.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, team.
Hello, Karen. This is Ed.
Hi, Ed.
Thank you for joining us.
Happy to do it. How's it going? I guess the meeting has started.
Yeah, we just started the meeting, just called it to order. Bud is not with us tonight, and we don't have any members of the public here. We just took some time to read through the draft that you provided. So we don't have to read it like we did last time. So I think we can ask specific questions. Do you want to start, Ed?
Well, first I'd like to say the first few paragraphs in this policy are really great. Especially like your first sentence where you state that the San Mateo Harbor District plays an important role in the community, interacts with customers and members of the public, and is held accountable for behaviors and actions of its employees, contractors, and commissioners. It's great. It's right in the very beginning.
Well, I think that was because you wanted to have kind of a preamble, and that's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Certainly a rough draft, but
yeah.
I wanted that kind of preamble that I thought you were thinking of that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I think Bud actually asked for that. That was his idea.
Yep.
Yeah, which is great. What else? Sorry.
That for now.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We did in the preamble. Julie and I put those live links in there. I don't know if you could click on it, but the first link actually goes to the Attorney General website. And I thought it was important. There's a statement in there about sexual harassment and the law in California, and I think it can be pretty powerful to have. It's the Attorney General, right? So that's the first link, and then the second one is actually the laws that apply. And
right.
So, you know, as this is a living document,
mm-hmm.
Those will be important resources for people, but also I think it's helpful to indicate that we are following what the Attorney General of California promotes and promulgates.
Right.
Okay. So I wondered, like on the second paragraph, you've got a list of things, unlawful harassment, discrimination, intimidation, and workplace bullying. I was wondering, I don't think anywhere in this document it mentions like defamation or libel or slander, and it seems like that would relate more to maybe retaliation, but I don't know, maybe not. Do you think it's worth including those things? Because, would they fall under a sexual
harassment
policy?
Under other forms of harassment on page 3.
Page 3, okay.
Yeah, we can certainly include it, because we have derogatory comments,
yep.
But we could also include derogatory and defamatory comments, mm-hmm. something like that, I think yep. would be a good spot for it.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems like it's important to include.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mark if we're making changes so I can kind of keep track. But I think putting derogatory and defamatory will be very inclusive and very broad.
Okay.
That's a good change.
Okay. The third paragraph, it says intranet and the district's website. We don't have an intranet, but do you think it's important to keep that word in there?
What do you have that is, I know, where else can we say? Because we certainly want it to be available in as many forms, methods, whatever is possible.
Do we want to say email communication, or like what do we use? How do you guys communicate, Julie?
We can put it
text
in our server files, I guess. We're always to.
Okay.
Well, why? One thought I had with this was why not be as broad as electronic communication?
What it's saying here, though, is this policy will provide to all new employees and commissioners. This policy will be provided mm-hmm. to all new employees and commissioners and will be available via the intranet and the district's website.
Mm-hmm.
We want to say that the. Is there an employee handbook?
Employee handbook.
Yeah, I think you can just make it broad, a broad statement about how the district communicates with its commissioners and employees, because that may change with time, too.
Yeah, we're talking about eventually implementing an intranet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it stays, I don't care. If it doesn't make any difference to me, but we might want to add employee handbook if we have mm-hmm. one.
I'm adding employee handbook and taking out intranet, and if you get to a time where you do have that kind of employee system, then that'd just be a super minor change.
And do the commissioners, do we have a handbook for commissioners? We don't, do we?
We don't have a finalized one.
Okay. So then we'll just, we know it's a policy, so it'll be in the commissioners' policy books.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we want to mention that to ensure that commissioners are getting policy books.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's been a problem in the past. So commissioner policy ring binder or whatever you guys want to call it.
Okay. I put commissioner's policy book, and what Julie and I can do is she can certainly go over it a final time for kind of making sure we've got the correct wording, but I like that.
Okay, that sounds great. Then, let's see, moving on, I had a question about page 3. So where we have the list, I know at the end you say electronic messaging, like all, you say emails, and other forms of electronic messaging, but I'm wondering if, like, maybe on number 6 of your list,
yes, ma'am.
we could add like social media posts.
Yes.
Or somewhere stick in social media. And we
social
already talked
media platforms.
That's
social
good.
Media platforms. Yeah. I think would be very all inclusive and a good addition.
That's a good idea. Okay. And we already talked about using derogatory and defamatory in here as things to avoid.
Can I make a comment about just a word on page 2 under sexual harassment, the second sentence in that heading, where it says, when anyone is engaged in harbor district activities.
Yes.
So... is that clear enough who anyone is? I know under definitions you have you on the first page.
Well, the reason I put anyone was so that it was if you witnessed it, if you felt it, if you did it. so I wanted it to be...
You literally mean anyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, well, and here's the thing. I wanted to be all-encompassing and not have that sentence of candidates, applicants, employees, contractors.
Okay, that's great. I wanted to just make sure that that's what... That was your intent.
Otherwise, it would get really hard to read.
Yeah.
I think that covers it.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
And then on page... we already did page 3.
Yep. Oh, wait.
On page 4...
Page 4.
So we're at the bottom, the third paragraph from the bottom. I underlined something. Let me read it to figure out why I underlined it. Where it says, it will conduct a fair, timely, and thorough investigation of the allegation that provides all parties appropriate due process and reaches reasonable conclusions based on the evidence collected. Investigators will not be delayed or postponed. Investigations will not be delayed or postponed. One thing that I think is confusing is, how does the victim or somebody who feels they've been harassed, how do they know, how are they communicated with? Like, are they going to receive an email from the investigator? Like, how, it's unclear to me how they know that there's even an investigation happening. Like, how are they notified of such a thing? And maybe there's maybe there's some clarity we could, you know, way to clarify.
Okay. Let me just make one more. Yeah, that one's going to be a little wordsmithy. Notice too.
Yeah, how to notice people, like what they're, so they can have a reasonable expectation about how they're going to get.
Right.
You know, like, is it, do they get an email from somebody within a certain number of days after they make their complaint? Like, what's the process for that? And maybe there's a simple way to do that. And then noticed about, you know, what to expect as far as investigation is, like, is it going to happen within a month? Or, you know, these are just things that I think anybody that makes a complaint wants to have a sense of the timing of it. And we don't want it to be too open-ended, because then it's like, is it really, because we're saying it's no delay, but what does that mean? So yeah, just, I don't know, think about that. And then the next
I'm going to put it, I'm going to make a new paragraph between the end of that one and the next one.
Okay.
And just to be really clear, I think that there has to be a statement. It seems to me that there should be a statement of the same thing going to the person so both sides of
both sides.
Not just one side versus the other.
Right.
Okay, and then the next paragraph, so it's the second from the bottom. Oh no, we already did that. We just fixing a typo where it says the investigation be through. We think it meant to say the investigation will be thorough and include examining any relevant documents. So that Julie's already fixing that.
Okay.
And then the last paragraph, if a complaint involves the District of Administrative Services, the general manager or commissioners, the District Board of Harbor Commissioners will designate an investigator or panel appropriate to the circumstances. That leaves a lot of lack of clarity on how would the Board of Commissioners make a determination. It also doesn't mention that the commissioner, if a commissioner is being accused or another commissioner is making an accusation, that those commissioners would need to recuse themselves. So then you're down to potentially like three commissioners. Or say it's a thing with the general manager. How did it, what's the guideline for the commission to, at that point it would be the full commission, to decide on what is appropriate? Because I think what we were hoping to do was move towards a panel that's what the legislature is doing.
Well, and more broadly, we're, from my point of view, what we were hoping to do is to, as much as possible, remove that kind of decision making from the commission or specific individuals.
To take the politics out of it. Another way we could think of doing it is we'll designate an investigator. Maybe it would be a independent investigator. Because this investigator could be like council already working for the district, the way this is written. Independent investigator and a panel. Because that would be the way that the legislature would do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and so just to get clarity, so the panel and this kind of bigger process is really only for when the director, the general manager, or a commissioner is involved in a complaint. That's my understanding. I want to make that understanding with you guys.
Well, that's a really good question.
I think that deserves a little discussion.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because with the legislature, it includes all employees, not just legislators. Does that make sense? Like any staff person, because there are way more staff people than there are legislators in Sacramento, and so the policy is all inclusive.
And just from my point of view, my thought is that one aspect of redoing this entire policy is so that we don't end up with one individual that you call an investigator doing all the work, acting as investigator, judge, and jury, and then presenting their findings, and then not offering either side the opportunity to have any say over what happens.
Or dispute or information that's not factual.
Well, there is no oversight into that individual's work. There's no, the way it's written now, there's no opportunity for any oversight over it. And so this is where a panel comes in, because that takes it away from one individual. This is how I'm seeing it. And so you please correct me if I'm not thinking correctly.
Does the investigation go to the commissioners? That's what I thought I read in here someplace.
Doesn't say.
Right, because another new part we're implementing is the reporting. And I think what you don't want, what we do want, is when you have a very powerful person in the district that's accused of something, you want to be able to have a process that passes the sniff test that is going to get you where you want to be, with a very transparent process and a robust process.
Yes.
What I see, and the reason I don't want the whole panel thing to apply to every like small kind of thing, like, oh, somebody made it what they thought was a joke, it was inappropriate, I'd like to have a conversation and use HR to do that. I think you do still want people to feel like there is kind of some informalness to very small issues.
To resolve them
and
quickly.
That,
yeah.
For a resolution. And so if we're trying to make sure that the power dynamic does not adversely affect complaints, I think with commissioners and the very highest level at the district, having an investigator and panel is the way to go. And then you implement it for a year and a half, and if you feel like you need to blossom it out bigger, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Another way to maybe, if not now, down the road, is to put in some criteria, like if someone wanted to appeal if a staff member wanted to appeal a decision and escalate it to an investigation with a panel, mm-hmm. they would need to know a process by which they could do that, like bring it to the board or something. I would think that that would be a good process to, you know, give people a chance to, I guess maybe what we want to say, or I guess we are saying that any employee can bring stuff to the board. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, because we have had a problem in the past with an employee who was sexually harassed, and she did eventually have to bring it to the board to get an investigation done. Still wasn't a healthy process, but there was certainly no panel, you know, so she ended up resigning because she just, it was too much hassle and she didn't trust the process. So I'm just wondering if there isn't a way to provide employees with a higher level of review, you know, which is good for both, you know,
both
people involved, or the, mm-hmm. if there's multiple parties, all parties, in the event that they feel like it wasn't handled well internally.
Well, and I think that in this process, if someone is dissatisfied, they are going to provide a written rebuttal to the district, which would come to you guys.
Okay.
And there's also the mediation.
The mediation. Okay.
Okay.
So I'll let you...
A summary of how I'm thinking of it is that before anyone even goes into something like this, if a reasonable person that would read what we're trying to do here, read the result of this, would look at this and say, if something happens, I feel that this process will provide me the best opportunity to shed light on whatever the circumstance is, and then that the process will allow for a fair decision.
Well, we
whatever that is. So, does that make sense?
Of course.
Yeah.
But that's the hard part, is to do that in a way that makes.
Yeah, because questions come up like, okay, if we're going to do a panel, how will the panel panel be selected? You know, we need to know what the process for that is.
Yeah, that's a whole other.
What's the selection process? Yeah. Does the board select one person? Do we go to the board of supervisors to get the panel? Do we go to county council? Do we go to some, you know, outside mediator type person that can bring in some, like, because there's some organizations out there that do mediation. Do we turn to one of those types of organizations to get our panel? Do we have to have a woman on the panel? What if the panel is like all women or all men, or, you know what I mean? Like, what's the makeup of the panel? And they spent a lot of time thinking about that with the legislature's policy on how to do the panel. I know this seems really tedious, but it's...
Well, that's a hugely important piece of it.
Yeah, I mean, once you're in, you know, it's once you have the problem, then you're scrambling to figure out. And then if you don't have a process delineated and you do, and something gets put together that's questionable, that's not good for the district, you know, because it's like, oh, look how they did their panel. That wasn't fair or whatever.
Well, to me, it's very similar to when you appeal something, you go to the appeals court. You know, it's my experience with that, with the work we did in Martins Beach, was it was essentially a three-judge panel. It was not one individual. So you're kind of talking about the same thing.
And
that gives you a it it makes it so it's less likely that one person's bias will prevail.
Well, then maybe that's how we want to do it. I mean, isn't that how mediation's usually done with retired judges or something? Mm-hmm. Is that right, Karen?
Well, with mediation and like with what you guys are talking about, there are definitely mediators and investigators out there. You're talking, kind of one concern I have isn't with getting the people, it's with the cost to the district, because most of these people are $500 to $1,000 an hour. And if we're going to have a panel of three of them as part of the investigation and findings, I'm a little worried about, you know, not just 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, but in the hundreds.
You mean if there was a lot of complaints?
No, for one.
No, even just for one.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it,
$100,000 to do one panel? Really?
Well, because it's
three people.
If three people are investigating.
No, not investigating. It's a panel that reviews the information that the investigator provides.
Yeah.
So the investigator does the investigating. They provide the panel with the information, and then the panel gets to. There's got to be a process for the panel where they talk to the people involved and go over the information provided by the investigator. They're not tripling up on the work.
Right.
But they're
still analyzing, asking investigator questions.
Right? It's not trivial.
Another way to consider it, though, is if you don't do it that way, where everybody trusts that it's a fair process, how much does that end up costing the district?
Right. So, but I get what you're saying, Karen, because I can see the arithmetic. But maybe there's a
cheaper way to do it.
Yeah, another way to achieve the same result without going to
judges.
Judges, yeah.
Like, what's the name? Aren't there some like conflict resolution organizations? I know there's a couple in the Bay Area. There's probably several.
But that's different. The conflict resolution. Is a different expertise when you're looking at...
Not with being qualified to sit on a panel to review a report.
Yeah, it is different. Conflict resolution is conflict resolution. It's not looking at an investigator's report and making a determination that this should have been done or that should have been done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So it sounds like we're prioritizing cost over process?
Not at the moment. I think we're just discussing how to achieve the result with cost as one aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, around having a panel, I think the legislature probably has more resources than you guys do, and that's why I was kind of reluctant to have a panel for every possible kind of harassment or, discrimination complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's no resource I know of there where I can pull, HR professionals at a fairly reasonable fee who would review reports, direct an investigator, and then report to a district and be available for questions. I think that it needs to be the exception, not the rule, that a panel would be used, and that with that kind of substantive expertise. It comes down to managing cost.
I get that, but the problem is who's pulling the trigger on when such a thing is needed, and there's a lot of opportunities for that not to happen if it's not required, because the people making the decisions may have a vested interest in that not happening.
Correct.
That's why they made it a requirement.
Right.
I mean, in the end, I can say I'll write it how you want. If people find it too cumbersome, they'll just change the policy and won't do it.
Right.
Like you want,
I think we want to put the, I think we want to put the best thing out there, and then if people want to change it, then they can change it. But I think we should put like the most well thought out policy recommendation that we can come up with, and then if people want to make changes to that and make it less, I don't know what the right word is, reduce it to something more like what we've got here, that's certainly, I mean, we can't make that decision. It's the board that's going to decide what the policy is.
Yeah. But it's worth giving some thought to how to have a panel that reviews that.
Is that, because it seems like something that HR professionals would be discussing, that more boards for private sector as well as public sector would be moving towards panels to help the...
Not at all. Actually, I hate to burst your bubble, but not at all. They typically just hire an investigator that comes up with a report and reports to either a board of director or the head of HR.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a flawed process, unfortunately.
Yeah, it just doesn't work in most cases. I don't know about you, but if I was accused of something, I would definitely want a different process than one where one individual makes all the decisions. Even if they have the best intentions, they are humans and they make mistakes. Or they have the potential for that.
I was trying to think how we could get a panel together. Like, what if it's a panel of people that are from other agencies?
Like other HR professionals? Or,
yeah. Like, what if it's kind of like when we do a interview and, like, say the district's interviewing somebody for Harbor Master or something, and maybe decides to bring in a Harbor Master from another agency to sit in on the interviews because they're knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we have a process where we just have the panel made up? I mean, at least it's better than nothing. At least you've got some, you know, level of checks and balances.
You want some oversight so that when you walk into this process, regardless of which side of the fence you sit on, you feel like there's an opportunity for your side to be heard, that information that you think is relevant is not going to disappear and evaporate, and that because the process is so hidden, it'll never come out.
Mm-hmm. How about like psychologists that have a lot of experience in sexual harassment cases or something like that? I mean, they're a little less expensive than a judge, or maybe a judge and a psychologist and an HR professional or something like that.
Well, I think, Julie, if you wanted, one way to do this is to say, you know, the person responsible at the district will maintain a list of 10 candidates for a panel, and if a panel's needed, and then you can say what the process is going to be, and three individuals will be selected in that process.
I like that a lot. I've had a similar idea, and that one of the reasons I think that's an important criteria is because before any event is reported or something like this comes to the district, these individuals have already been determined and the list is there, and it removes whatever bias you could get into if you have to select something.
I think that's a really good idea. Yeah. I like that idea too.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
well, one thing you want to, and the reason to maybe maintain a list of 10 viable candidates internally is that in these investigations, you need to, for them to be fairly swift. If you have two individuals who have to work together,
absolutely,
or who have contact, you don't want this thing lingering for 6 months, right? You want to be able to look at documents, interview people, find a resolution or mediation, and move on. in the work life, and a lingering investigation is almost worse than no investigation. So I think maintaining some nimbleness. So let me put together kind of an appendix A in the process for a panel that I could have for you and would reference in this section. And then that way we could, whatever parts of the policy that we have finalized, we don't have to go back to it, but then we can have an appendix that we're working on about the panel.
Yeah, that's, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I still am hung up on the fact that we're not, it's kind of like we're going to do something better for people who have a complaint involving the administrative services director, the general manager, or commissioners than any other staff person. And I wonder about, I just keep getting hung up on, is that really fair? But I do hear your point that, well, maybe we start with this, and then if it's determined that we need to broaden it to all employees, I mean, obviously with like a minor complaint that could be worked out, where you could even get the two parties to reconcile through a couple of meetings or something. I mean, you know, it's always great if you can get, you know, if there's something clear that happened and somebody wants to apologize or whatever, and you can resolve it quickly. I mean, that's obviously the most ideal situation for the district. So we don't want to prevent that from taking place. But anyway, I guess we can come back to thinking more about that later.
And I really, kind of my thought with having that more elevated process is to address that power dynamic and the power that you commissioners
I
have.
I hear you. Okay, I think I can live with that.
And if you offer at all levels opportunity for an appeal or review of the decision, that goes a long way towards making it a more egalitarian process.
So let's talk about that. On page 5, we've got the fourth paragraph down. If after findings are made available to either the complainant or the perpetrator, either party is dissatisfied with the findings, either party may write a formal rebuttal to the district memorializing their disagreement with the findings. The basis for the disagreement includes a discussion of evidence, documents, statements, and support their position. Okay, so where
do you want to know why I didn't have an appeal process in there?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of reasons, but for me, at some point you have to have finality.
Yes.
And you have to have a way, even if people are, no one's not 100% satisfied, if you say, okay, well, here's an appeal process, well, then you just have a second fact-finding, and then what if there's a disagreement with that? Or does the appeal start it over? I mean, at some point, we have to create some finality, and frankly, if someone says, okay, I don't like it, I'm going to sue the district, or I'm going to leave, they're going to, that's just how sometimes these things play out, but I think we have to have some finality in the process.
So, I'm wondering if it's found in their rebuttal, if that's what we want to call it, or we could call it a, what do you call it?
Like an opposition or something like that.
If it's found that there were factually incorrect statements in the district's whatever findings, what triggers a new investigation? What if there's stuff in the rebuttal that's actually valid?
Well, I think then that when that happens, it's just like when an investigation is completed and management looks at it or there's a report around it, you can adjust the, you know, discipline, things like that. You know, it's not unheard of to, you know, have outcomes that aren't as originally intended, whether it's someone ends up writing an apology or someone's terminated. You know, no matter what, someone in these processes, and typically it's not the victim, although I know in some situations you guys have had, it is, but it's typically the person that's being disciplined that's more dissatisfied with the process.
I'm just like, I think sometimes mistakes happen in these processes, and if it turns out that the person provides information that shows that there was a mistake made in the response from the district to the complaint, wouldn't the district need to correct that?
It's so fact intensive and so fact specific. I mean, if it's something substantial and there's a dispute, there's always going to be disputes about the facts. In the someone can say, "I didn't say that," and the other person says they did. And
no, then, I mean, if it's like, if it's substantiated that there was a mistake, like if it's not just a he said, she said or something like that, but a substantiated, like it's easily discoverable that there was a mistake. I'm just concerned, like, is that even in the best interest of the district to have a incorrect, factually, like, just to have an error? Is that something that we would want to then correct?
Well, and that's with the rebuttal to the district. You know, the district is going to get a report that says, you know, Smith Investigation Services with a three panel, let's just say it was a regular kind of thing. Smith's investigation revealed X, Y, and Z, but Karen says that that's incorrect. Then I think it's on to the district on what to do next. I'm not sure that you start back over with a new investigation. I mean, and then I guess I'm trying to find where we can get closure,
right,
or where we can get some way that is feasible and doable.
Right. And this gets to my question, which is, so this process that we're talking about, we get to where there is a rebuttal, we've got a report, and then what happens? That gets reviewed by the commission?
Yeah, what happens to the rebuttal?
Or, well, the whole thing, the report and the rebuttal, and, you know, what is there, does the policy need to describe an action? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm not articulating this right. Because right now...
No,
go ahead.
Well, typically, just like with any employee issue, management makes a decision about what to do. And in a typical case at any company, let's say HR does an investigation, and then at some point, a manager, a CEO, COO, somebody's going to make a decision and then move on from the decision and implement it. For you guys, I mean, I think in the reporting, we can certainly require in the reporting that rebuttals are also included, just to make it even more clear that rebuttals have to be reported to the district. You know, I guess I think I'm trying to find the balance between what you guys have said is, you know, you don't manage employees and you have leadership there at the district with you getting the information about what's going on.
I see.
So I'm sorry, I'm confused. So the rebuttal would be attached to the investigation report? Is that what you're saying?
Like, well, not necessarily, because someone might not write a rebuttal, or the rebuttal might be written at some person's leisure, and you wouldn't want to wait on you getting a report. So, you know, I would think that those have to come up as they're submitted
okay.
to the board.
So it's so,
yeah, that makes sense.
So the process is that somebody submits, whether it's the person accused or the person accusing, they submit their rebuttal to the commission? Is that how that works?
Well, I put findings, but we can add rebuttal shall be provided. Hold on, I'm typing as I'm talking. Sorry,
sure.
I just want to see how it looks.
If after findings are made available to either the
yes. Transparency. Quarterly and annual reports of complaints. And this goes down to the reporting and tracking that you guys wanted.
Okay.
And if there's something more that you want reported up, then the complaint, the investigation, the findings, and any rebuttal, then we can certainly put that in there in the reporting and tracking. Because that's going to give you the information on the overall process and whether or not you're happy with it, whether it's effective,
right.
things like
yeah.
that. Right.
I think we would want to have rebuttals included there. If somebody went through, because I have a hard time imagining your average person having the time to create the rebuttal, you know, because I mean, that's kind of a high bar right there, because they don't necessarily have an attorney helping them do it,
mm-hmm.
whereas the district has all these resources. So if, say, someone has been accused of something and they want to write a rebuttal because they don't think they did it or they know they didn't do it, then if they do, you know, if they do have the wherewithal to get it together to submit one, I think we need to understand where it goes and who's reading it, who's reviewing it.
Well,
and you're saying
and,
that.
And you, harbor commissioners, want to see that, right? Because you want to know.
Yeah.
There might be a rebuttal that just says, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But there could be very thoughtful, like, well, even though the investigator found that, you know, it was a dark night and no one saw what Jim did, I want you to know that I'm, you know, not a liar, and this is really how, I mean,
yeah.
you know, a rebuttal yeah. could be everything from very benign to very substantial, and
yes.
That's why I wrote it, so that, you know, just, it includes a discussion of things, just to give them the opportunity, kind of, since this is a policy people would be reading, I also wanted them, my thought was if they read it, think, oh, I might want to talk about the documents and the evidence and not just go, oh, I don't agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
To kind of inform the person, you know.
Okay. Well, I definitely think that we want to make sure that the board gets the rebuttal, because that creates, if it's just staff, then there's no, you know, that eliminates an opportunity for awareness on the part of the board. So I think that's
well,
important.
Well, in my view, the best of all possible outcomes of this is that when there is, so these reports, this investigation report is done, and then a decision has to be made. Okay, what do we do with this? What's the result? We do this or that. In the best case, and I'm not saying that it's the most practical case, but the best case would be that the report is done, if there is a rebuttal before the decision-making process happens, and maybe there needs to be a statement somewhere within X amount of days for decision-making to give them, whoever it is, opportunities to say, okay, I better get on this, because there is going to be a decision made, so they can have their rebuttal as part of that decision-making process.
Before the decision is made.
I would think. I mean, I agree that not everyone's will have necessarily have the time or the wherewithal to do that, but you want to at least offer them the opportunity.
But don't you need to have the decision before they can rebut what the decision was?
No, because this is the rebuttal. No. When I was reading this, I was thinking, I was trying to put myself in one position or the other, and think, okay, so here comes this report. I read the report. The report says, more likely than not, I did this, and I know I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I would like to be able to say, here's why the report's wrong. Where the report is misleading or has statements that are incorrect or whatever, so that when because the commission, if it does go to the commissioners, I'm hoping will be able to be objective about it and be able to make a determination, because in the end it's up to those five commissioners in our case to decide what we do next, whatever our options are.
So it's the review of the investigation report before a conclusion is made.
Before disciplinary action's taken.
This is the problem, right? And Karen, you're going to have to correct me because I'm completely a novice on this, but it seems to me that if there is an investigation that's done by whatever process, the investigation, one of the outcomes of that investigation and the report says, we believe that more likely than not this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's no other opinion on it coming to before the commission, then the commission's going to say, oh well, we have this report that says this very likely happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so
there's no opportunity before the district makes a decision. So it's just, let's say the question before the board will be whether to settle out of court first, offer some financial settlement plus maybe some changes in operating of whatever it is. If the report stands on its own, mm-hmm. and the individual feels like it's misleading for whatever reason, then there's no opportunity for the commissioners, who I'm assuming would be intent is to make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
They're not offered that information, so they're not going to be able to weigh that as part of their decision making process.
It has the potential of not getting all of the things. It's like Bill Clinton saying he didn't do anything, and then evidence coming to the contrary, that this really happened to me, or
right.
something like...
Does that make sense, Karen?
It does. I guess I'm trying to figure out where you envision your role in discipline, because...
Yeah.
You know, for me, kind of what you guys have said, hey, we don't manage the employees.
Right.
We hire people that do that. And so for me, the reporting is about accountability.
Yes.
It's about being able to say, okay, here's what we found to happen. Here's the rebuttal. In the end, the person wrote an apology, or the person had a week off without pay. And,
So if it's a management, all right, so say if it's like an employee that
say it's employee at the same level.
Yeah, if it's an employee that the board has no oversight over, the board can't make the decision on discipline at all. That would be something
the union too that.
So the union's involved and this district management staff's involved, so we're completely out of the loop on how that works.
But nevertheless, you'd want, it seems to me, that that if there is a report, it gets to the level where there is a report, you'd still want that rebuttal to be offered to whoever
the board.
Whoever the decision makers are.
Yeah, the board needs to know because we need to track
problems. Well, no, I'm saying if, say, it is employee-employee,
yeah,
and let's just say for the sake of argument, it's Julie that it reaches, it goes to Julie to manage, mm-hmm. to make a decision on what happens, I would think it would be a more fair process to have both sides represented. So the report, whatever that finding is, if it goes to the level of an investigation and a report and then a rebuttal, so that all the information is there.
Is provided to Julie, is that what you mean?
Well, whoever...
And then Julie, or
I mean, somebody has to, like Karen was saying, someone has to make a decision on what to do about the findings of the report.
Right. Well, and maybe the HR person, or the director of admin, or Julie, whoever,
yeah.
If that person is competent, they can bring all the facts and do a good investigation and bring all the facts to the Harbor Commission and with a recommendation that this is what the district is recommending doing to this.
I think there's different levels. If it's and this is where we might need some guidance from Karen, but mm-hmm. at the level of employee, say it's harbor master assistant and harbor master assistant, mm-hmm. for whatever happens.
Right.
And it actually does elevate to the point where there is an investigation that's done and then a report that's written. Mm-hmm. I would think we would offer the either side. So say the report says harbor master assistant A, more likely than not, is guilty of harassing B.
Mm-hmm.
Or then you'd want A to have the opportunity to write a rebuttal, and that can be presented as part of all of the whole package before any decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
So that if
well, and then would B get a rebuttal on the rebuttal? Or, I mean...
Well, that was Karen's point. Someplace, yeah. Somewhere or another, it has to end in a something has to be done.
Right.
But at least if it were me, and I was accused of something, and a report was done, and I felt it was misleading, at least I would have the opportunity to say, well, here's why I think it's misleading, and then let the decision be made.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than... You know, here it is, here's the report, and you have no say, no
right.
ability to, other than after the fact, to write something. I mean, that doesn't help you much.
Right.
Am I making any sense, Karen?
Yeah, I think you're trying to figure out, and I think it is about creating new accountability within the district, right? It's you're not just looking at having a 3-page sexual harassment policy, checking the box and moving on.
Right.
You're thinking of these scenarios and wanting to create a system and this process that is transparent. And I think that if you have reporting that's coming to you on a quarterly basis, every 3 months, you're going to know there were 2 complaints, there were 0 complaints, here's where we are in an investigation, here's your findings, here's rebuttal, all that. I think that system with reporting and not only having the complaint process, but knowing that there's reporting to the commissioners, I think that's going to be a pretty powerful trigger, just because of the fact that that will be part of what the public can know and understand about you. And sunlight, as always, is the best disinfectant.
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
And then we can ask questions if we want
right.
to dig into it.
I get it.
Getting a regular... How often is the reporting? I'm sorry. Is
every
it quarterly?
Quarter. Yeah.
Quarterly. quarterly and yearly. So I think one thing the commissioners could do, and I don't know how specific you want to get, that you could direct, here's when we want our yearly report. We want, you know, this is the format we want. I kind of left it broad in there because I wasn't real sure about the reporting language that you guys typically use with staff.
I get it.
So can we include in there that the report will include the rebuttal?
Yeah, I have that. I've already added that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand.
Okay, so we're just going to leave it.
Yeah, because if I'm understand, I think I understand, I should have said. So I'm thinking that the idea is that at that large community, the employees, the commissioners, if we have this process where it's where these it's not like there's, I'm hoping that there's zero complaints because of other things that we do to prevent them from happening, but when there are, that these things are go through a process, that everyone knows how the process works, and that, and not only that, it's clear that that process will be scrutinized and there'll be an opportunity for the commissioners to review everything that's gone on. Mm-hmm. So that, so if you work in that environment or you interact in that environment, then you know that this, I would think it would offer a bit of deterrence for people to misbehave because the process is very transparent.
Right. It shouldn't matter who your buddy is,
yeah,
or if you've worked there 20 years or 20 days.
Yeah, exactly.
If the process is transparent and fair, you should be able to participate in it and get an outcome. If we create these reporting mechanisms and a better investigation mechanism.
Yeah.
And the reports are just provided like as confidential documents? Is that how that would be handled?
You know, I think, and maybe you guys get confidential financials, I don't know. You know, personal identifying information, you wouldn't want to out someone, let's say someone was harassed because they were trans, but they weren't like, you know, didn't want that to be part of some public thing. You might have redactions in a report just for personal informational privacy, but I didn't want to put that it was entirely confidential because if someone was leaving graphic pictures around, that particular fact should be part of a report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think we need to add some stuff to that section to make it clear what the report's going to look like. Otherwise, I could see that getting really misunderstood, you know, down the road.
Well, and I have a question there too, and that is specifying who has access to that report. Is it public?
Well, if it's redacted, then it can be. It can be presented in a packet, right? As an annual report in the packet.
But redacted or not, who gets this?
Well, if it's in the packet, it's public.
Can it just be under the Brown Act personnel issue and being closed session? Because redacted reports might lead to guessing who the person might be.
Mm-hmm. But you understand, I think we can't just leave it as like this. We need to say more, I think, more specifically.
More details in the reporting.
Yeah, we have to make it very clear, so, because otherwise it's up to whoever.
Interpretation.
Yeah, and you don't want that for this. You want to be very specific about who has access to it, whether it's the entire public or whether it's the board.
If we're doing it quarterly and we're doing it annually and we're redacting, we're not putting anybody's personal information, we're not using their names, mm-hmm, I think it should be part of just a regular report. Like we get the rent report, we get these reports in our packet. I mean,
yeah, I'm not arguing either way. I'm just pointing out that we need to have
and then
clearly
if you want
stated
to follow
where that.
Up, if you want to follow up on the report that's published, you can then call for a closed session meeting. Three commissioners or the president can call for a closed session and find out more information about what the deal is.
Yep.
So I think that we clearly can.
That sounds like a good way to go.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the report itself, if there's a lot of activity and it looks like the district's having a problem with some harassment or retaliation or something or other, then, you know, we at least know the general, you know, what's happening.
And if you do it this way, it'll allow the community and also the district to see a trend.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so I think we need to figure out what's in that report. So, Julie, can you give that some thought about what the spreadsheet would look like or however you see that?
We just say there was one sexual harassment claim, and we expect to have a final report, investigative report done by X date, or just like simple like that.
I think we're talking about more.
I think we need advice from Karen on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe a little more details is appropriate for the board. For example, that it involved a religious. I think the board would want to know just what kind of protected class or what kind of subtext there was, because it could really be an indicator to you of a problem or a lack of a problem if you know a few of the details.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. Just
and if that's put out as a report in one of our regular meetings, then that shines a light on us that
we know that these things are happening, and I think it would be a deterrent for anybody.
I think so
too, because they'd be like, oh, okay, this is gonna.
That's
you know, I can't just get away with anything because I'm, you know, my activities usually never are brought to the board's awareness. Mm-hmm. I think people, you know, throughout the agency would know that it would eventually, within a quarter or whatever, the board would have some awareness that there was a problem and might find out about it. So I think that would be a deterrent.
Yep.
And I think we want to word it, because the way you guys have described things, what we want to do is make sure that it's for complaints that either were initiated in the quarter or came to light and required any kind of work in the quarter, because you don't want, let's say 3-4 years from now, someone's finagling and they're like, oh, well, that's not really about something that happened this quarter. That was 2 years ago, and so I'm not going to include it. We want to make sure that we're catching everything.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So can you guys figure that part out? It's making my brain hurt to think about it.
Okay.
This is complicated stuff. Okay, so then the other last thing I had on this page was second paragraph from the last, so right before item F, where you say up to and including termination. And I think
where are you again? I'm sorry, which page?
Page 5, item F.
No, right before F.
Yeah,
the sentence before F.
Okay.
So the very end of the sentence, it says up to and including termination. And I think we had decided it was going to be request for resignation or potentially censure. I think those were three things we were talking about. And I think there's one other place where you included part of that in here, and now I can't seem to find it.
I did in one other place, and I didn't write there. So,
yeah. So maybe just make those two spots consistent.
Yeah.
Yes. Consistent.
And that's all. That's all I had with this.
Can I go over my action list for you guys?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna, Julie and I, and we're not gonna wait as long. We're actually gonna start popping things back and forth tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm gonna work on an Appendix A that'll have the process for the panel that'll be referenced within our create a draft for that, which will include how HR is going to maintain a list of 10 viable panelists. And I'm also going to enhance the section about how a victim or the person accused will receive notices of the progress. Okay?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to punch up the details in reporting so that it has more structure, and I may even create a form that would be used on a quarterly basis so that there's kind of no walking it back.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
Great. So could we, there's a lot there for you guys to do, but I think we're all on the same page. Can we go ahead and vote to bring the next draft to the board?
Yeah.
Or should the final draft?
Do you think
to the board?
Yeah, like this revised version.
Yeah, I mean it'll always be a draft even when it gets to the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a worthy goal.
Okay.
Okay. And do you think...
Does that fit with you guys, with your like, workload and timing?
Well, I mean, it could be whenever, you know, if you can't make this meeting, you could do it the next.
Oh, okay.
But that way you're just kind of, you have momentum to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That's great. And then we'll be out of your way.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
So...
And then I would think just to create accountability and be able to answer questions, then at that board meeting where this policy is discussed, would it be appropriate for me to attend and be accountable for some of the terms and things?
Yeah, that'd be
great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Okay, so I'll let you know when the next calendared meetings are and see what works for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how long it takes you guys to tweak this. I'm not trying to rush you, but it just seems like we could go ahead and, you know, say that we're... Well, you make a motion, Ed. I'll let you do it.
So let's think about how to word this. So move that this be brought to the entire board once you and Karen have it to a place where you can do that.
Okay.
And I'll second the motion.
I'll aye the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we're supportive of, you know, we really appreciate all the work that you two have put into it.
Yeah.
And you know, great job.
It's a good learning process for me. Like I said, I'm an amateur.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to collaborate like this and create something. So I'm all in.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Karen.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And thanks for meeting with us tonight.
Yeah.
Anything else before I go? Any other kind of employment questions? Anything that I can help your committee with?
Not. We are working on the...
I actually do have a question, and I'm not sure how to go about asking it because it's relevant to the next meeting that we have.
Next meeting? Next item?
The next item, sorry.
Well, let's just go to item 3.
Yeah.
Which is, so that we're on item,
new policy
on role of district's general counsel.
Yeah.
Is that something we should have Karen review, maybe? The draft policy? Who would be good to review that? Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry, Ed, I interrupted.
Well, no, that was it's kind of related. Right. So my question is, one of the things that I've seen that this commission does not have is clear guidelines for our general counsel. And specifically outlining what we intend our council to do when we say protect the best interest of the district. You know, usually that's interpreted as protecting the fiduciary interest of the district. So keep us out of trouble where it'll cost us money. And in my view, there is a higher perspective, a higher level perspective, which is protect the district means protect the our constituents and staff, and then maybe below that, the fiduciary aspects of the district. And for example, in my experience, this doesn't go well with some attorneys when we say, look, the district actually is responsible for what happened. So let's not try to run roughshod over this individual who was harmed because they have no ability to hire an attorney to help them, or they're incapable of that. Let's admit we did harm, fix the problem, and move on. Whereas I believe that what tends to happen in these situations is we circle the wagons and protect ourselves at all costs. And I think that because we're a public entity, that we shouldn't be doing that. We should put the public's best interest above it.
Right, you're not so concerned about shareholder return. You have a different agenda, different policies, and different goals. And I don't think that's unreasonable, Ed.
So we will need an attorney to help us write that, because that kind of policy would, I would imagine, have legal implications.
So we have a draft.
Well,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, we do.
I was going to say, the way I could help you with it, and certainly, you know, just a smaller aspect, is your special counsel, the contractor that's providing services for you, but there may be some ways I can help word what those services are from you guys, from your 50,000 foot view, that could just help in part of the process.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know Jill did give me some information to incorporate into this policy previously too, so I can send you the draft policy. I also got a lot of information from the California, the
League of Cities.
Okay. Yeah, and
yeah, that would help. I mean, I feel like in order to write a document like this that's clear and makes legal sense, we need that kind of help.
And I think this is pretty good, you know, this policy that we have in front of us. But I think it'd be great to have Karen take a look at it and just see if you see anything that needs to get strengthened or changed. And and so Julie can send you that.
Yeah. Okay. And that'd be great.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, you.
Bye now.
Bye.
So what I'm thinking is the same thing as just with the last policy, is that we could go ahead and vote to approve the version that has sort of Karen's blessing or has any edits or changes that she suggests to move it forward.
We're talking about this.
Yeah.
I think so. So one of the, and I've read this and I didn't see it in here, and it's kind of alluded to. One of the important aspects for me for district council is for them to recognize that some aspect of what's before them requires different legal expertise. or even if the board says we would like to hire a different law firm to take this on, some mechanism that's really articulated so that it's clear, you know, we're going to be hiring counsel soon, so it's clear to them that this is not, the intent is to hire counsel that can take care of what's outlined here, which is kind of the day-to-day business of a district, but when matters get very complicated, we might want to hire, as a board, hire expertise outside of this council.
Yeah, so number 13 on the last page, it says provides recommendations and advice when requested by the Harbor Commission pertaining to the retention of and employment of outside law specialists.
But also, I mean, I think we need a statement, and it might be up here in the attributes of where whatever's before us is outside their expertise.
Mm-hmm. So recognizes that it's outside of their expertise.
Yes. I mean, that should be written somewhere in here where it's explicitly stated.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's human nature for most of us to think that, well, yeah, I can handle this, but then it gets above your head and now you're stuck, and we don't want that to happen. We want it written explicitly, and it also can provide the board with, look, here's our policy. We don't think this is within your,
you know,
within your expertise.
Experience,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other aspect of this is when we do that, I think it should be explicitly stated that, and this can, maybe Karen or some other attorney can weigh in on this, but it seems to me that you don't want your general counsel micromanaging the counsel who's an expert in that field. Like, you know, I would think you'd want them to communicate with each other, but the role of that work should be from the lead, should be the special counsel that you hire.
So you're saying that you want to make it clear that the special counsel reports to the board, not to the general counsel.
Right.
Okay. So can we add that? So that puts the board firmly in
control.
Well, it means counsel is...
You don't want the two...
The board hires counsel. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Right, but it's got to be clear that because I've seen this happen before where general counsel feels that for whatever reason that the special counsel is managed by general counsel and general counsel reports back to the board, and that's not what you want.
You don't want to double the lawyer fees.
You don't want double lawyer fees, and you don't want someone with lesser expertise. I mean, you hired a special counsel to take care of some for a reason. You want them reporting to the board.
Okay. Can we make that clear and also mention the financial implications of, you know, why that's a good reason or why that's a good thing to do, and maybe something about the board needs to benefit from the advice of special counsel. So, in other words, you don't want it watered down, right? Is that what you're saying?
Directly with the words of special counsel as opposed to going through general counsel to be passed on.
That the board, that I think it needs to be explicit. If we hire a special counsel...
We need to hear from them.
I'm not trying to put a wall between the general counsel and the special counsel, but the special counsel should report directly to the board, not through the general counsel.
Both counsels. All counsel reports directly to the board. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, and here, one of the questions I had with this is at Employment Labor Council, what's their role?
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't report through
No.
The general counsel, they should report directly to the board also, right. I would say.
Well, they are now, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Currently. It's just good to have that explicitly stated. And it doesn't mean that you hide the information from lawyers that are working for the district, but it makes it clear that there's independence. I think that's really important.
Okay. So that you get the value from your special counsel.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was something else too. Dang it, popped out of my head. Let's keep going and then I'll see if I remember.
I think you covered it from my perspective. I mean,
no, there was something else in my head.
There's
about
something
this.
Else? Okay.
Yeah, give me
give
a second.
It a minute.
Completely lost it. Dang. So. It's in the ether. Okay. Well, if I remember, I'll bring it back.
Okay. So what do we want to do with... Are you confident about having... Like, do you want to have an amended version emailed? We can do that, right?
Send an email. I believe to one commissioner, I know that I can.
Can't you just email it to all commissioners as long as we don't discuss it?
If it's a public document, yes.
I mean, it's going to be a public document.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as long as, you know, I think...
Like, so people can form their comments to be able to...
If it's a public document, maybe the way to do that is to put it on a...
I'm talking about so we can read the revisions that Julie's working on. Can she just email us a revised version? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I see.
And we do that. Yeah. Like when council's working on stuff, sometimes they send us a
letter.
To the
whole board, you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. As long as you don't communicate.
Yeah.
But you can send...
You can blind copy.
Yeah, I think you need to blind copy so we don't inadvertently communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that would be good. And I'm okay with just, you know... I think Julie understood what you wanted, and mm-hmm. you had changes, and it sounds like she understands it, and mm-hmm. she can get some input from Karen if, you know, needed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with...
So I had two things. One is the attorney letting us know explicitly, not my expertise, and then two... how a special counsel, what the relationship between special counsel and general counsel needs to be. They work for the board, etc. Then there was one other item in this.
About the financial implications, not...
Yeah.
That's not the 100% driving factor.
Right. Now I remember what I wanted to say. It's kind of in here. And I'm not sure how to articulate this, and maybe you can work with Karen on it, but one thing that's really important for me is for our attorneys, doesn't matter whether it's a special counsel or our general counsel, their job, as far as I'm concerned, is to act as an advisor, number three, advisor, sounding board, resource, but in the end, it's not their job to advocate for any position. They should not act as advocates for for you should do this.
They give you choices. Like, and they should give you an educated guess as to what the repercussions are if you go this direction or that direction. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, neutral.
And I
maybe
just,
we want to say they need to provide neutral advice.
Something like that, or explicitly say, is not an advocate.
Well, because it kind of conflicts with what's being said here, which is recognizes what the Harbor Commission is trying to achieve and helps them reach their objectives. Do we want to say that? Because that's kind of in conflict with what you're saying.
No, it doesn't. Not necessarily, because the whole point of it is for them, it's entirely consistent for them to say, our statement to the public and our what we're about, whatever we call it, you know, it says this, and it would be just totally consistent for our general counsel to say, if you make this decision, that's not consistent with this. That's mm-hmm. not advocating, that's just pointing out that. Mm-hmm. that. But what you don't want is for them to have a position on something that they feel we should move in that direction for whatever reason, you know,
opinion, you mean? You don't want them to, like...
No, we don't want them to add, here's kind of a stupid analogy. Suppose their deal is all special districts need to save money no matter what. And so they would advocate, look, you need to do this because it's the least expensive path. What you guys are talking about is where I see you guys going, it's going to cost you more money. Mm-hmm. And the board's trying to make a decision that's responsible, ethically responsible choice. Mm-hmm. And the lawyer is advocating for the financially responsible choice. That's not their job. Their job is to point out, if you do this, this is your position legally.
Do you want to put it in a concise, these things in concise
notes?
No,
I think Karen needs to do that. Uh-huh. I think it's, I mean, for me, concise means that an attorney is not an advocate. They are counsel. They tell you, they counsel you. They say, mm-hmm. if on law.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take a position on any...
Will they give you information about choices and risks and
yeah.
possible outcomes and things like that?
And it's totally consistent for them to say, based on what I know the values of the district are, if you should do A, because this is what's going to happen. It'll do this, this, and this. That's okay. But to actually argue towards a position, to say, you have to do this because it's going to save you money, just as an absurd example, mm-hmm. that's not their job. Their job would be to say, if you do A, that's going to be more expensive. If you do B, it's going to
save you. Objective advice. You're asking for objective advice, but...
I'm asking for our counsel not to advocate any particular position.
Then you're asking for objective advice.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that how you want to put it?
I think I'd want both those words in there.
Objective in what?
And not an advocate.
Okay. Well, tell Julie how you want it, just what you want it to say, because they're not going to be able to read your mind on this. Sorry. You're very specific, but you got to put
it
in.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, let me think about it for a second.
Okay.
And what I want from Karen is, like, is that a reason, you know, again, it has to be reason, what I'm asking for has to make sense from a legal point of view, mm-hmm. too. It can't just be made up in my...
Well, I think asking lawyers for objective advice is pretty standard.
I think that's in here.
Number four is politically astute, but not political. does not advocate for any position.
I think we, and it even says, I think we should put something in about provides objective advice, mm-hmm. nonpartisan.
Yeah, it can be like, okay, provides objective advice, does not advocate for any particular position. For any position.
That's perfect.
And provides the board with objective advice.
Well, that's what this is.
Because sometimes what happens is the attorney provides the general manager with objective advice, and then they come up with some, they hatch a plan, and then they don't provide objective advice to the board. They provide a position to the board that's limited in scope, not giving
right.
full choices.
Right.
So how do you, how do you make that clear that, that, you know, really
I think
stressing.
That's in here.
Okay.
Just put number 9, provides board of harbor commissioners with objective advice and does not advocate for any particular position. Okay.
Do we have? Is there anything in here that makes it really clear that counsel's reporting to the board?
Well, that's what I thought was in here.
Provides a written status report every 60 days or sooner if warranted by significant developments.
I know, but it doesn't say who the counsel. It does, like at the statement, you would think kind of at the top, we would want to say clearly who counsel reports to. Even though we all know counsel's supposed to report to the board, sometimes for new commissioners, they don't know that. I've actually found that to be the case in some instances.
It should be in the statement.
Yeah, do you think we could put that in the statement of policy, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And then we're reaffirming that with the special counsel, that they report to the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then we're consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I should just say district counsel, special counsel. Other counsel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Employment counsel.
Policy title.
All counsel.
All counsel.
Reports directly to the board.
Yeah.
I think that's an easy way to do it. Then, because you never know, like we could be hiring
whatever
counsel that was an expert on elections, or counsel that's an expert on harbor navigation code, or, you know, there's so many different types of counsel out there.
Mm-hmm.
All counsel.
Yeah. Public works projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we going to make a motion? Do you want to?
I
mean, that's a question.
No, I think we should.
Okay.
Move it to the full board.
So move that the revised policy will is recommended by the committee and will go to the full board for consideration. Does that sound good enough as a motion?
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe the revised policy could be emailed, just or
well, that doesn't need to be in the motion.
No, but I'm just saying.
So we're moving that the revised policy will, I move that the revised policy will be provided to the full board for consideration and action as recommended by the Policy and Governance Committee. Or something
second.
Like that.
I second.
Okay, great. And I'm voting in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do we want to redo the last motion? It was a little sketch. Or maybe we reread it just to check on
it. Let's just reread it.
Yeah.
Okay. Motion to move that the updated policy of the anti-harassment, non-discrimination, anti-retaliation policy be brought to the entire board for action.
We didn't put the part about we're recommending it. The committee's recommending it. I think that's important.
Right. Okay.
So why don't we go...
We're sending it to the full board.
Before we do that, let's go back to... So now we're closing agenda item 3. Mm-hmm. We're done with that. We're going to go back to agenda item 2 and go ahead, Ed. Which is anti-harassment, non-discrimination, anti-retaliation policy.
We can just add that we're recommending that the board review and vote to
take action.
Yeah.
And we are recommending it. Wait, you want to add that?
Yeah, that we are recommending. Thought I did.
Maybe you did. I'm going to miss that part.
I recommended by policy and governance committee.
Okay. And I'll second the motion. And I'm going to vote for it. Aye?
Aye.
Okay. Great. And I am going to move that we adjourn because it's almost 6 o'clock. Okay. Is that okay with you?
Yeah,
get to the ethics policy, but we've already...
We've already recommended a version of it. So.
Okay, so we don't need to do that again.
Well,
it's already on the board agenda, carried over from
last time.
Okay. All right. Great.
And wait. So number 4, you're clear on... You okay leaving number 4? Just to be...
I just have to go.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We can take this up later.
Unless you want to just do the same thing where we're recommending it.
Well, number 4 is already on the agenda for the next board meeting.
Oh, so we've already...
Have a committee report with the matrix of...
Oh, right. We already went over all that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we're good.
All right, great.
Thank you for all your work.
Yeah, thanks so much, Julie. Thanks for hanging in there. Okay.